Imagine the softest sheets you've ever felt. Now imagine them getting even softer over time. That's what you'll feel with Boll & Branch's organic cotton sheets. In a recent customer survey, 96% replied that Boll & Branch sheets get softer with every wash. Start getting your best night's sleep in these sheets that get softer and softer for years to come. Try their sheets with a 30-night guarantee. Plus, get 15% off your first order at bollandbranch.com. Code BUTTERY. Exclusions apply. See site for details.
This Mother's Day, celebrate the extraordinary women in your life with a heartfelt gift from Blue Nile. Whether it's for your mom, a mother figure, or yourself as a mom, find that perfect piece to express your love and appreciation. Explore Blue Nile's exquisite pearls and mesmerizing gemstones that she's sure to love. Enjoy fast shipping options like guaranteed free shipping and returns. Make this Mother's Day unforgettable with a piece from Blue Nile. Right now, get up to 50% off at BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Burrow's furniture is built for the way you live. From ensuring easy assembly and disassembly to honoring highly requested new colors for their award-winning seating, they always have their customers in mind. Their modular seating is made out of durable materials to last and grow with you. And with Burrow, you always get fast, free shipping. Get up to 60% off during Burrow's Memorial Day sale at Burrow.com/ACAST. That's Burrow.com/ACAST. Burrow.com/ACAST.
No, you were very new, and I think I'd only because you started, Esther started about 6 months after I did, I think. So I was also quite new, and it was the first summer party I'd been to, and I was a bit
like this.
Yeah. And the bit that embarrassed me the most that actually came up in our company lockdown Zoom Christmas quiz, the question was who showed their pants while trying to demonstrate a particular yoga pose at a summer party? And the answer was Holly Taylor. Yeah, mortifying.
Oh. What was the pose?
I think it was crow.
My God. I mean, that's quite a tricky pose, to be fair.
So. I know. Oh my God, though. Never forget when you showed your pants at a summer party.
Anyway, we're going to be very well behaved over our are you having the celeriac and chestnut soup?
Am I fucked? No, honestly.
I don't know what it even was, like this van thing that used to drive down the road and go, please stand clear of the moving vehicle. And that would like haunt his dreams.
Oh, those vans that talk, and they're doing that in between going diddly 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 diddly.
Yeah,
diddly.
What?
Stand
clear
of the. Oh my God.
The only van in the world that should be allowed to talk is, well, an ice cream van.
Oh, yeah.
And
okay.
The Coca Cola lorry when it says holidays are coming. Those are the only exceptions I will make.
Oh. Not emergency vehicles or anything like that. Just Coke
and
ice cream.
Oh, yeah, shit. Yeah, sorry.
Welcome to episode 174 of the Women's Running Podcast. I'm your host, Esther Newman, and she's your other host, Holly Taylor. On this podcast, we talk about health, politics, stuff on TV, and what we ate last night. Occasionally, we talk about running. Now, seasonally appropriate content warning here. Would you run with a hangover? We have many experiences of doing just that, and so we discuss what we reckon is actually happening inside us when we decide to go for a run after having a skinful the night before. Then we have an enormously important announcement. We're teaming up with Sports Tours International again to launch a Pod Squad run. This time, it's a half marathon in New York with us in April. The Real Simple Women's Half Marathon is on April the 28th. And if you want to take part, check out all the details at sportstoursinternational.co.uk/event/Women's Running New York. There's a link in the show notes if that's way too long, and loads more details on the pod. Then I talk about the half marathon I'm going to be doing before then in February, which rather annoyingly, I have to start training for now. If anyone out there has a half marathon to train for in the meantime, do listen in to us over the next couple of months as we begin our training for these two half marathons, and you can run along with us. And before we get onto it, here's a little freebie for you. We've made a mini version of our brilliant How to Run 5K guide, and you can download it for free at womensrunning.co.uk/run. If you like it, the big version is available to buy right now at shop.womensrunning.co.uk. This episode is sponsored by sportshoes.com.
Right now at sportshoes.com, you can pick up the brand new ASICS Nova Blast 4. That rings a bell. You've got a pair of those.
I have, and they're absolutely gorgeous.
Oh, they do look absolutely stunning, to be fair. But aside from looks, what's beneath the surface? Why else should I think about buying them?
Glad you asked. There are loads of reasons. They've got lots of lush cushioning, courtesy of ASICS's energetic FF Blast Plus Eco technology, which is not easy for me to say, which is made up of about 20% renewable materials. They've got an outsole that's been inspired by a trampoline, which just has to be good, and really good grip that's ace in wet weather. And the upper is super comfy and plush.
Also, a little scientist birdie just whispered in my ear and told me that the Nova Blast 4's carbon footprint is 23% lower than the industry average. Can that possibly be correct?
You are right, woman in STEM. And you can add bounce to every step in the Nova Blast 4 shoe, taking you from feeling average too energised.
Well, what are you waiting for? Go and pick up a pair today from sportshoes.com. Okay, I'm grumpy and hungover this morning.
Yay! I was grumpy and hungover
yesterday.
Luckily,
it's not a day we have to be on or anything and record two podcasts.
Yeah, thank God for that. Why are you hungover? What have you been doing?
Because we had... Yeah, you were grumpy and hungover yesterday. We're taking it in turns. Mine's today because we had a lovely Zoom call with the patrons last night. Mm. And I got myself a Prosecco so that I could have a glass of Prosecco with our Christmas Zoom. But the difficulty is of opening a bottle of Prosecco, you got to finish it that night.
You absolutely
So then Doug
do.
And I had to finish it, and now I'm feeling a little bit like this morning.
Oh,
but it was nice at the time.
Yeah. I did. Yeah, I feel your pain because I felt awful yesterday because I'd gone out the night before with some friends that I'd not seen for a long time. And God, the volume. Like, I think I can be quite holier than thou and a bit like, oh no, I get pissed on half a glass of wine, blah, blah, blah. But I did not have half a glass of wine on Wednesday night. I mean, I absolutely sank a ship.
Yeah. It's always the way with catching up with old friends, isn't it? Because you just get really overexcited.
I got giddy. I was giddy.
I love that. I love doing that. But yeah, it doesn't feel so great the next morning, does it?
Not enormously, no.
We've got our work Christmas do coming up next week. And that is always one, a work Christmas party or work party generally at our company. They've become, in recent years, to be fair, post-COVID, they have become a little more relaxed.
Yes.
But they're notoriously, there was a time where, oh my God, that was actually the last time that I was sick.
Yeah. Sorry, I shouldn't laugh. Horrible.
No, yeah. You may laugh because I'm hoisted by my own petard. It's no sympathy because I've caused myself the ailment. But that was the last time. And I think the only time in this house, in this flat, which I hopefully, you know, shows my maturity a bit, that I've been sick because of alcohol. I have been sick one other time, which was because of COVID. I vomited when I had COVID.
I remember.
Yeah. Throwback. The only time that I've been sick with alcohol in this house was after a work Christmas do, I think I was just like very awkward because I'd been at the company for a year.
Which one was it then?
It was the one when we went to the Bird Hotel.
Yeah.
You were there.
Yes.
You were there.
Yeah.
And then we all went. That was relatively sensible. I do remember some conversations where I'm a bit embarrassed, you know, when you're just a bit sort of loose-lipped. but it wasn't sort of anything worse than that. And then a bunch of us went to the pub, I think the boathouse, the boater.
Oh, was it? The boater. Yeah.
Afterwards, which was a terrible idea. And then we went for a curry afterwards. It was so expensive and I couldn't eat any of it. I ordered this huge spicy curry and then I couldn't eat any of it because, you know, when you're just too drunk to eat properly. And so obviously I had a huge spicy curry, way too much to drink, and then came back and was very, very ill.
Oh, mate.
It wasn't good. It wasn't good. But that, you know, I think that was a big turning point for me in my maturity, because that was 5 years ago, maybe. And I haven't done that since. I think that was a big moment where I woke up in the morning and I was like, absolutely wish I was dead.
Yeah.
Feel awful. So embarrassed at everything I said to everybody who is my colleague last night. What on earth have I said?
That's the worst, isn't it? Yeah.
It's the worst. It's so embarrassing. So I've tried to be a bit more restrained at work events and generally on nights out ever since.
Well, it's like work colleagues, it's a slightly different beast, isn't it? Because some work colleagues like blur that gap and they're mates, right? But some are definitely more of the colleague rather than the friend. And if you were to wake up the next morning and remember like a kind of like a sex toy conversation or something like that.
Oh, yeah.
If that was with, like, you know, someone that you went to school with or university with, that's one thing. But if it's someone that you've then got to talk about an Excel spreadsheet with, it's not fun times.
It's embarrassing. Yeah, it's not great. Definitely a couple of those sort of ilk of like conversations that I remember and feel slightly sick about now. Luckily, many years have passed, and I think probably any colleagues that I have to still work with or still speak to, then, you know, enough time has passed and they haven't said, remember that awful thing that you did. The only thing that did come up that I die when I think about was the fact that, so it was in this hotel that had like a sort of pub garden thing. And then I think we had sort of like lawn games and pizza.
Summer party thing.
Someone did a quiz. And someone actually did a brilliant quiz where they photoshopped people in the office's faces onto different film characters and you had to name the film and then who was starring in it. It was brilliant. Yeah. Can you remember what you starred in? I starred in Kill Bill.
No. I did.
It was so funny.
Yeah, I can't remember. But that was great. I hadn't been there for very long then. Yeah.
No, you were very new. And I think I'd only, because Esther started about 6 months after I did, I think. So I was also quite new, and it was the first summer party I'd been to, and I was a bit
likewise.
Yeah. And the bit that embarrassed me the most that actually came up in our company lockdown Zoom Christmas quiz the question was who showed their pants while trying to demonstrate a particular yoga pose at a summer party. And the answer was Holly Taylor. Yeah, mortifying.
What was the pose?
I think it was crow.
My God. I mean, that's quite a tricky pose, to be fair.
I know. Oh, my God, though. Never forget when you showed your pants at a summer party.
Anyway, we're going to be very well behaved over our are you having the celeriac and chestnut soup?
Am I? Fuck. No. Honestly, I looked at that menu and I was like, what? I know that celeriac and squash are in season right now, but I just don't like either of those two things. And every single item on the menu was celeriac or squash. And it's like, nah, don't like any of those.
It was very much an autumnal, wintry menu. I'm quite looking forward to mine though, because I've got some sort of cheddar souffle.
Oh, have you?
It's not your cup of tea, but I'm looking forward to it.
Actually, I wouldn't mind a cheddar souffle. I think that would be okay because it's cooked cheese. Mm. That's fine.
Yeah. That's my main.
I was really cheeky with my main. I went.
Did you go for the steak with the supplement? I kind of wanted to go for the scallops for my starter, but they had a supplement and I didn't know. I should have done it and I should have been brave because I wasn't quite sure what the... It's so awkward, isn't it? The etiquette of that with a work do. When they say... this thing with a supplement. And it's like, but what do you mean? Are you putting that on there because you genuinely are up for us taking advantage of that and you paying the supplement? Are you, you know, is that just on there as a bit of a, like a head, like a head on a spike, a warning to the rest of us?
Yeah, I'm like, it's true. And maybe we should have conferred beforehand, because if we had, I would have persuaded you to have the scallops, because I was
I would have done if I'd have known the scallops
and the steak. So I've had to have something awful with beetroot in it.
Scallops. I'm so jealous. I'm having the fucking soup.
No, I wish I was having the scallops. I'm not having the scallops because I was like, I'm chosen the steak. So, possibly have the scallops.
See, if I'd have I get you. If I'd have done the scallops, then you could have had one and we could have done it.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, nice.
Yeah, well, I did notice this also made me feel, because I rushed to get my Christmas order in because I panicked because they sent it round and were like, oh, you've only got 48 hours or something before the deadline. And I was like, I will forget about this. So I just did it quickly. I should have waited an afternoon or something to see what other people had done, because I did see, most of it is anonymous, but I did see someone had put in the Christmas party spreadsheet their options and they had gone for the steak with the supplement. So I was like, oh, I should have just waited a minute and then I would have seen what people were doing.
And then, not feel so bad about it, not go for the cheap option.
No, oh, well. I went, well, anyway, I went bloody celeriac soup, cheddar souffle, and I know, I feel like I've gone for the
peasant's order. You are
going to
be bombing that
order.
Yeah. It's all root veg.
Oh, actually, sorry, I'm just remembering another time that I did vomit at a work day. Oh my God, how mortifying. Anyway, do you want to, well, this kind of actually leads us on quite nicely, because I know we were going to share some very exciting news now, but actually maybe as a very annoying hook, we can ask you all to stay tuned, because we are going to share something that we're both unbelievably excited about in a little bit.
Yes, we are. I know what you want to talk about. Should we just do?
Do you want to talk about running when you're hanging?
Yeah, which we were going to save until next week, but let's get on to it. I mean,
I reckon
it makes sense.
I think
it does make sense. Do you run with a hangover? Would you ever run with a hangover, or would you just suck it off?
So I don't make a habit of it. I have. I've definitely been in camp sack it off, but I've also been in camp let's go for it. I mean, in my opinion, it's not great. But then I think the way different people are affected in different ways by hangovers, aren't they? And my number one symptom of a hangover, now that I am a little bit generally weaker and frailer and can't handle my booze as much as when I was younger, is feeling very spacey. Like when I was in uni and stuff, or in my early 20s and drinking, then I would get all the classics of like getting a headache or feeling like you're gonna be sick. But now I tend to more just get, even if I haven't drunk loads, like last night, you know, definitely drunk one too many glasses of Prosecco, but it wasn't like I drunk like a full bottle to myself or anything. And I just today feel slightly like a little bit like slightly dizzy, slightly spacey. And the idea now of running while feeling that would make me a bit worried that I might do myself a mischief, because I would be a little bit out of it and I might fall over or give myself a horrid migraine or something like that. So I don't think I would do it now because I can't hold my booze as well. But definitely a couple of years ago when I trained for my first half, when we did the Bath half in 2020, defo went for a run after going to the pub multiple times. And actually, I say this, I did go for a run after three pints a few weeks ago with Lex. Remember, I did that Bath Fit Fam thing when we'd had three pints the night before.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So fair play. I felt rough, but I did it. Forgot about that. Oh, not all heroes wear capes.
I definitely do it way more than I used to. I think there was like when I was first training for the London Marathon, I remember being really kind of Puritan about not running on a hangover, so much so that I moved my long run. I always ran on a Saturday morning rather than a Sunday morning, so that I could drink on a Saturday night and then not do anything on the Sunday. this time round for like the training block that I did, I was like, nah, fuck that. And I would drink, my drinking nights are Friday and Saturday night, and I would always run, not necessarily on a hangover, but definitely after drinking those two nights.
That's the difference, so, isn't it? Is that I definitely run after having had like two glasses of wine is what I would consider my, and it's going to be different for everybody. Some people don't drink at all. Some people drink more. That for me, two glasses of wine is enough that I won't really feel anything hugely in the morning. Whereas any more than that, I'm starting to go into territory. Three, I'll probably have this where I feel a bit spacey. Four, I might be a bit headachy. Five, six, we're talking territory.
Yeah. I mean, I find now these days, actually, now that I don't drink the vast quantities that I used to when I was in my 20s and stuff like that, that I would generally recommend for myself and not for anyone else to actually go for that run or to do the boot camp when I've got a hangover. Because, you know, there's a couple of things. Firstly, like I've done boot camp. In fact, it was only just last weekend that I turned up to my boot camp. This was the second time, second Saturday in a row where I turned up going, oh, I'm really hungover. Mm. And at the end
of the session.
But
you still turned up.
Oh, yeah. But at the end of the session, my boot camp instructor said, oh, have you got rid of it? Because she knows that doing the exercise in some way gets rid of that feeling of hangover. And it does.
This is the thing. This is what I found really, really interesting. So, I mean, I don't want to shock everybody, but we've actually slightly prepared for this episode. And I've got some information in front of me. This is from Dr. Juliet, who... Shout out if she's listening, because she's not only our resident medical expert, but she's also a lovely listener. And she's been on the pod before. She's a general genius.
Cheers.
But she's written some tips here. So basically, this is solving any of those sort of like myths, because technically, I think a lot of what we think we're doing and what people say sometimes is sweat out the hangover. Dr. Juliet disputes this, I'm afraid, and that's not what it is that we're actually happening. You can't sweat alcohol out. All of the work of getting alcohol out of your system has to be done by the liver. However, what we actually are feeling is that fresh air and gentle exercise is really good for like clearing a head. So when you've got that feeling, which actually maybe I should take heed of this advice, when you've got that slightly spacey feeling, actually fresh air and exercise is good for that. And also some of the things that you get, like anxiety, worst thing in the world for me now, last 2 days, horrendous. Exercise can obviously really help with that, because runners high and having a bit of an endorphin boost. So basically, I think what Juliet goes on to say is that she wouldn't recommend running on, certainly not if you're like, you know, anything like we were just talking about, where if you're severely dehydrated and headachy, if you're feeling nauseous and poorly, then you are obviously more likely to cause yourself an injury if you're really dehydrated, or if you are unsteady on your feet, or you're going to feel really, really nasty and put yourself off if you're sick. But that if you've had a few glasses of wine, like we were just saying, don't be afraid potentially to do some physical exercise, to get out there and get some fresh air, because actually that can be really, really beneficial and can really, really clear your head. She is saying don't go out there and collapse in a pool of your own vomit.
But that was something I was going to say, and I think that's I'm really pleased that she's got that in there. That I think the kind of the double whammy for me in terms of doing something on a kind of mild to moderate hangover is rewarding, in that sometimes it seems to kind of get rid of it just because I've been outside. Mm. But the thing that I like to get rid of is that kind of, you know, that kind of slightly pervasive feeling of self-hatred that you get when you wake up the morning after you've had a couple of drinks. So you just wake up going, I'm a total piece of shit. Awful person. Yeah. I'm so bad. I hate myself so much.
Night, Mm-hmm.
Did you?
I had that in the middle of the night last night as well. You know, when it wakes you up at 3 or 4 o'clock in the morning to go, never forget, you're a piece of shit. Night.
Mm-hmm. Sleep well.
God, that sucks.
It's not fun. So that always happens to me. And obviously, well, not obviously, but forcing my reluctant bones out for a run means that I come back then liking myself. So, you know, at the end of the run, I'm like, oh, actually, you're not a piece of shit. Actually, you've done this thing. And this is really, really cool. And so it kind of minimizes the negative mental effects of the hangover for me for the rest of the day. So because I'm sitting there going, yeah, but I still managed to get out, So, yeah, I think, you know, but this is all very personal and everyone is different. So
everyone is different. But I actually genuinely feel like after this conversation, I was really, really strongly considering not doing any exercise today, staying in my pajamas, having scrambled eggs on toast and feeling a little bit sorry for myself because I'd had half a bottle of Prosecco last night. But in actual fact, I'm going to put my leggings on and force myself to do, I mean, even just a bit of yoga or something to move my body, because I think it will clear that sort of slightly foggy brain thing.
Yeah. And I mean,
so there we go. Inspired.
It is inspired. And I mean, you know, if you wanted any more inspiration, we could probably lead into our incredibly, massively important announcement. What do you think?
Shall we?
Should we do it?
Okay. I'm really, really, really excited about this. And I don't know. Yeah.
I'm so excited.
I got a bit distracted.
None of it's, but the thing is, we're not going to be professional, but the thing is, I know that we've been talking really vaguely about things that we might do next year. And it's not because we're like teasers in any way, shape or form. It's just because we were just trying to wait until everything was signed off and we knew that we could do it.
Yeah. Oh, it's so annoying though. I do really appreciate it from the other end that like it's such a big things coming 2024. Watch this space.
Yeah.
About to drop something. About to drop some fire next year.
We actually are. Yeah.
We're very, very excited to announce, if we hadn't sort of heavily hinted enough with wanging on about New York for 57,000 years after we'd been for the marathon, that next year on 28th of April 2024, we are inviting 50 of you lot to come and run a half marathon in New York with us. And do you know what I really should have done before we announced this?
What, is go to the website and figure out more about it, or
just actually get the name right. So it's the real simple women's half marathon in New York. And I have never heard of an event like this. I can't believe we've managed to make this work. And I'm so, so excited.
Because it's women only. So that is super exciting. It's running through
Central
Park. Just
insane.
It's with Sports Tours International, again, who are our friends and supporters, and they're brilliant. And what's lovely about it is it's so laid back. It's so kind of go at your own pace. Obviously, you can bomb it round if you would like to. But we're working with Sports Tours, and they have made 50 spaces available for this package. And so the package will include, if I can refer to my notes, I think it's 3 nights, isn't it? In a lovely hotel with us.
Yeah.
It also includes guaranteed entry because you can't.
Of course. Sorry, I was going to say, unfortunately, hotel-wise, we're not staying it's a different hotel than we stayed in, which means I won't be able to be reunited with the shampoo and conditioner. That was my first thought.
Oh, mate. So sorry.
Yeah.
The package
tiny violin.
It's out there. three nights in a lovely hotel, guaranteed entry to the half marathon, which, because this is a New York Road Runners race, they're the people that also kind of own the New York Marathon and the New York Half and stuff like that. So I don't think it's possible to get
entry to this race unless you come through sports stores or you live in Manhattan or something like that. Yeah. I could be making it up, but I'm going to go with it.
Go with it. Also, sell it.
I'm doing it. It'll also include a post-race celebration, some merch, a lovely t-shirt, and sports tours being wonderful and looking after us while we're there.
Yeah.
So and that's what we're doing.
Hopefully a live pod in the same capacity, if not, hopefully not in a laundry room, that we did in Paris. We are in talks about that because, bizarrely, it is quite difficult to book those kind of spaces in hotels and to make that stuff work. In some capacity, even if it's all of us hanging out in one of our rooms, we will do a live podcast.
I wonder if we should request a laundry room, and maybe that should be our thing, that we, whenever we do live podcasts, we're always surrounded by sheets.
I mean, to be fair, if we've all just done a half, everybody like wrapping up in a duvet, sitting in those bundles, those big bundles. Oh my God. I would love to be sitting in one of those bundles right now. They're just like, nature's bean bags.
Nature's bean bags. So like, I guess, so that's April the, it's on, the thing about it actually, it's April the 28th is the actual half marathon. And that is the same day as the London Marathon.
It is.
So let's bear that in mind. So there's going to be a few people I know that won't be able to come because they're going to be doing that. And we're really sorry about that, obviously. But for those of you that couldn't get, they didn't get in the ballot, you know, don't know what else to strive for next year, this is a really lovely, and there's plenty of time to train on the other side of Christmas as well. So you don't have to think about it before then. So we can start doing training stuff in January.
For it, because there's basically a 4 month block, because it's the last weekend in April. There's like a 4 month block after Christmas, so I'm still tootling around. I'm definitely not starting a training plan or anything until January, but I'm absolutely buzzing about this because I really felt like I was slightly kind of losing direction. I'm really jealous, having watched you in the New York Marathon over a month ago now, I had definitely had my heart set on a destination race for next year. I didn't know whether we were going to be able to make it happen. It does feel quite exclusive, and totally get that 50 places, we were hoping to be able to do more, but it is quite an exclusive event that it was difficult to get more spaces than that. So it is a first come, first served scenario. But we are so excited. Obviously, it also goes without saying, fully appreciate that we are in a cost of living crisis, and all of us are struggling in various different ways. But this is a trip to New York. It's not race entry to your local 10K or something. Like, it is. It's pricey, but. Sports stores have done the absolute best they can to make it an affordable event. Huge apologies, of course, to those who don't feel that they can stretch to it. But if you do, then I really, really feel like it will be a very worthwhile event that will be worth the money, every penny of it. So, really looking forward to it. I can't wait.
It's going to be super, super exciting. And I to reiterate what you're saying there, absolutely. We know cost of living, absolutely. And we'll do our very best to put on some more local UK-based bits and pieces throughout the year. So we will be meeting up and hooking up throughout the year.
We don't really need to do apologies, I suppose. I guess gutting for those who might have to miss out on this occasion, whether that's because the places fill up or because it's just a bit too much money. But it will certainly not be the only opportunity we'll get to run together this year.
Yes, absolutely. Yeah, because there are other plans afoot, but we'll get to that in a bit. So many plans.
Panic attack live on air? Okay.
Oh,
let's go.
Let's do it.
So much is happening. But we've been so buzzing to share that news with you guys for ages. It's just been a case of trying to get it ironed out. And I'm sorry if we've seemed like just, very slutty.
Disorganized. You say slutty, I say disorganized. But yeah, same. Yeah. It amounts to the same, doesn't it? But We're there. We've got it. So there will be a link in the show notes where it's going to be, if you search on our website, hopefully right now there should be a little page now which will direct you to where you can go to find out a bit more about it. So we should all be sorted. If there's not, we'll cut this
out of the podcast and you're not listening to this, hopefully.
I tell you what, though, because we've talked about half marathons and half marathon trainings?
The trainings.
Actually, I am going to pluralize trainings. Because, because I have another half marathon that I have to train for before that one. So I've got one coming up.
Hate to hear that for you.
Yeah, cheers, Hol. So I've got one on February the 11th, right? So I was just going to chat.
Sorry, I'm not doing a good job in not psyching you out.
It's not fun. So I, just before we came on, I was like, you know, because I think the last time that I mentioned it, I was like, oh, I should really kind of look at a training plan, da-da-da. So just before I came on, I started looking at training plans. It's absolutely terrifying.
Are you looking at runner again?
I'm looking at runner. I'm going to see what I did last time was that I used a mixture of training plans. So
I think that's a really good idea. Shop around.
Do check out
the Women's Running website as well. Esther Newman, editor of Women's Running.
I promise I was going to mention. And actually, we have got a ton of half marathon training plans on there, which are really, really lovely. And I was looking at the one where you train by time rather than pace, because I literally can't get my head around the whole pace thing.
I used that one for Paris.
Mm.
I think I used that one for Paris. Yeah.
Yeah. It's a really nice, really easy one. And it doesn't tell you to do too much. And it's just lovely and very, very easy to understand. So last time I used a mixture of runner and Cooper, which I like as well. And this one, so one that I could actually print out and stick on the fridge kind of thing. It's, you know, it's really scary. It's 11. No, it's not. It's not 11 weeks. It's 11th of February. It's nine weeks.
Okay.
Until. Yeah.
Yeah. However, don't forget that you are VO2 max queen at the moment.
I am. You are. Just because I've been doing fuck all. Yeah.
Yeah. You. But the fuck all's all part of it. That's why you're doing so well, I'm presuming, even though, again, we will try and ask a scientist. But, you know, rest and recovery is really important. You're doing everything that you need to. You did a marathon a month ago. Mm. Like, I think that's going to be amazing. And 9 weeks is more than enough for someone in your condition.
Sounds like I'm carrying triplets. I hope it's all right. I think so. I've had to look at a plan. All the plans tend to be sort of 12 weeks. I mean, I think you can get some 10s and things like that. But I'm having to look at 12 week plans, scrape off the first few weeks, and just jump in at kind of week three. And no, you're right. It's fine. It's actually okay. So like, week three, which is this week. And I've done like a four runs a week plan, because that's what I'm doing. And that's like three runs that are under 4 miles. So that's fine. I've done that. And then the long run on Sunday of 7. So I can do that.
Okay.
I can do that. That's fine. It's all fine. It is asking me to do intervals and tempo running. I'm not going to do them. I'm not. Fuck it.
Yeah.
I don't want to do it.
Well, you're not aiming, as we've discussed before, you're not aiming to run it at a particular speed. Or are you? Sorry. Mm-hmm. I'm assuming.
No, I really don't know. Because my worst half marathon, as documented several times here, was the one where I tried to go the fastest. And what I really want to do, I guess
you did try to do that without having done interval training.
Yes, I tried to do it without having done any training. What an idiot.
We love a half marathon with very little training on this podcast, trust me. Oh my God.
Yeah, live for it.
Between us, we've done a few.
Just realize. And honestly, I still am like I remember the when I did the bath half in person, like last, you know, when we both did it last year, and I remember looking at people, men mostly, that were sort of collapsing on the last kind of incline.
Yeah.
Thinking you, that idiot, was what I you turned up without any
time
training.
By distance.
Yeah, but you,
for that
we've
one,
all
it, yeah.
fallen foul to it. That was the one I did it for because I was like, oh, I'm thinking of Paris, but that was when my training went tits up and I had to do a half marathon on very little training. But yeah. Bath half went really well, and that was when I did the time not distance. It was great.
It did go really well for you, didn't it?
I loved it.
Okay, well,
I had a really good time.
I'm doing that. So, because my so my goal, my absolute A goal, is because this it's a lovely half marathon. It's in Barcelona, so it's going to be absolutely lovely. But it is a running thing. I'm going out with a brand, and there's going to be loads and loads of runners from other brands. Right, mention no names. They're all really, really nice people.
When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
And it's all lovely and it'll be like good fun and everything, but they're all like proper runners, like they're all like, you know, don't give me the look,
even...
don't give me the look.
Okay.
What I mean,
you mean
proper runners,
5 minute milers.
Yes, they're all okay. Like 3 hour marathoners and you know, on their Instagram it will like be like 1:38
half finisher. Yeah. Okay.
You're like, oh, fucking hell. So they're all like that. They are all like that. So all I want to do is to get round without having to go to hospital. I think that's my A goal. I need to finish looking fresh, looking like, yeah, that was good. That was a nice long run kind of thing. I don't want to look as though having run a half marathon was too much of an effort. You know what I mean?
You
I don't
look
want
to be the post one half.
Yes. I don't want to be crying about anything. I don't want some sub-3 marathoner giving me a pep talk beforehand, telling me that I can, you know, don't worry, I can walk all the way round or something. I don't want that. I want to be like confident and happy and just to get round and to enjoy it and to see Barcelona.
Okay.
And eat some chorizo.
With some jalapenos.
All of those things. What else is Spanish? Churros.
Manchego.
Anyway.
Yeah.
Churros. Lots of, how do you say hot chocolate in Spanish? What's that?
This is a very good time to subscribe to Women's Running or think about giving a gift subscription for that big date in December you might be thinking about. Because right now, when you subscribe, as well as receiving the best magazine in the world, you'll also get a free exclusive Women's Running technical tee worth £35. It's beautiful, it's blue, and it says Happy Running on the back to help motivate you and your brilliant running buddies too. Just go to shop.womensrunning.co.uk/become a member and enter X23WRPOD, that's pod, at the checkout for your free tee. And please remember to send us a pic of you wearing it.
Well, it's a bit of a weird one because they don't do it. They're not into it.
The chocolate that you have with churros is just called chocolate. You have churros con chocolate, and that's the like melted chocolate stuff.
Very solid.
If you ask for a hot chocolate with the literal translation of hot chocolate, they're like, okay, you sit there, darling. I'm just going to call the institution and come and collect you. I think in my memory of living in Madrid for a short time, like the well-traveled woman that I am.
You are.
I think the hack was that you had to, and I can't remember for the life of me, so if any Spanish listeners or anybody who lives in Spain, any expats want to inform us, let us know. I think the hack was you had to ask for like a Swiss chocolate or something like that. You had to, then they would bring you, more like a milky chocolate thing with, mm-hmm. But they do mm-hmm. chocolate in a, they do like chocolate milk in like a sort of, so I think again, maybe you could get away with asking them for one of them hot. I can't remember, but I remember it being a big lost in translation thing.
Absolutely. Because I remember being in Bilbao and getting a hot chocolate, and it basically was sort of, just melted inside of chocolate truffle stuff. And it's like, God,
exactly.
I don't think I can
eat this. You dip your churros in. It's amazing, but drinking a medium-sized mug of it, no. Actually horrid.
Very,
even
very
for a chocolate
diabetic.
Lover.
Not, yeah, exactly. Yeah. Really, really unpleasant.
And it
I'll
kind
just
of
ask for sherry.
Tastes a bit that's like lovely. Diabetic chocolate, if you know what I mean. Like, it's not yes, like, it's kind of like, it's not like it melting a dairy milk in a bowl, which I have to confess, if somebody gave me a mug of melted dairy milk, I probably would drink the whole thing.
I'd give it a go.
I'd give it a go. It's its own thing, isn't it? Where it's like, it's mm-hmm. not quite that sweet. It's sort of, but it's also very sweet. It's really hard to explain. It's sweet, like sweetener rather than like,
I don't
know what it is, but I'm not a big fan of churros con chocolate. I will put it out there.
I'll have the churros. I just won't have the con chocolate bit. I think that's probably.
I feel like there
probably
are,
the way.
if we were going to have a snack in Spain, then it would be a huge bowl of patatas bravas every single time for me.
I think Spain is the only place where I've ever had. Like tortilla, like and eating it, and you know what I'm like about egg. I would never ever eat egg ever.
Oh, yeah.
But that was because it's such a kind of greasy, potatoey, and small. Because like when you have it like in a bar or whatever, you just have a tiny little bit of it.
You have a little bit. Oh, it's so good. Unless
that,
you go to my favorite place to eat in Madrid, and I really hope it's still around. I loved it so much, and it's so simple and boring, but it was amazing because I'd just gone vegetarian when I moved to Madrid. So there was immediately prawns and chorizo and half a leg of a donkey and stuff like hanging in every shop window and stuff. And it's like, oh, what am I going to eat? My favorite totally vegetarian treat that I loved was this place. It was this restaurant called El Búho, which I believe it means the owl. And they did these tortillas that were like as thick as my thigh. They were like, they weren't little, small, thin pancakes. They were like huge. They were like cakes. They were like, looked like a Victoria sponge.
Yeah.
And you sliced into them. So the idea was that you would like get one for, maybe one between three or four of you. Like they were big. And then you would have you would cut it into slices, and the inside was stuff. So the outer shell was the potatoey, eggy tortilla stuff. And then you chose your stuffing, and there was one that was just like a sort of mozzarella-y thing that would like, there was a manchego and nice peppers one.
Oh my gosh,
it was incredible. And I remember going with my family and I was like, we have to go. And they were like, trying to order one each. And me and the waiter were like, oh, you got no idea, darlings. We're gonna have to roll you out of here afterwards. And unsurprisingly, everyone was like, "What have we done?" It was amazing. Anyway, really on to the Spanish food. But
yes, I know.
If anyone's
going to
Madrid,
it's going to be amazing.
Highly recommend El Búho. However, we're talking about your
Barcelona
experience. So that's nothing to do with anything. Have you been to Barcelona before?
I have, but it was on a very drunken work trip, not this work, previous work. Mm-hmm. And I think I was only there for like 36 hours and literally we turned up, got drunk. Mm-hmm. I got drank.
I know what you mean. And then a couple of times.
Went there, got drunk, came back. That was it. Like, so I, mm-hmm. we didn't really see much of it particularly. So,
yeah.
Oh, I think there was, I'll tell you what I did do. I remember that there was like a skyline thing where you could go on a cable car. It went across a couple of things.
Oh, lovely.
Yeah, it was nice.
That's really nice. I've been once, but similarly, but for very, very different reasons. It was on a school trip and we were also there for, we were there for maybe about 3 days. I feel that we packed quite a lot in, but I can't really remember it because classic school trip. It's so amazing, amazing that schools can take you to places like Barcelona and give you such rich cultural experiences. But I do think it is a tale as old as time that all you're going to be interested in is McDonald's and who fancies who. So that's all I can remember from the trip. It was year nine, so we just wanted to get Big Macs and then talk about who was in your top five.
Absolutely. We had a Paris trip that was very similar to that. It was like, who could wear the most makeup? And
who had the nicest dresses? Obviously, British schools, most of the time, we go in for uniform. It's standard to have to wear a uniform. So also a school trip, a very exciting opportunity to show that you had something that might have even been from Abercrombie and Fitch or Hollister or something. Mortifying.
Two shops that were never around. So for me, it was more like as previously discussed, Tammy Girl. Topshop, perhaps. Trevor Island. Wherever you would. Or for the boys, Burton's. You know, that kind of thing. So,
So I suppose at that point, I mean, Topshop probably was still like a cool brand to have stuff from. But a lot of those other things had maybe slightly gone.
Yeah.
And it wasn't Burton. I remember not being a cool place for boys to have clothes from.
To be fair, Burton has not been cool since. It was only cool in about 1987, 88, because boys, I remember this particularly because of my brother, could buy a suit from Burton for less than 30 quid or something. And you could tell the quality wasn't quite brilliant. But they could buy a very, very cheap, very thin suit and then push the sleeves up and pretend to be from Miami Vice. So,
I know exactly what you mean and I can picture it.
I think the equivalent that
I remember growing up that were like a lot of people would wear as their suit on like Don't Tell the Bride and stuff like that would be, I'm sure it was from Georgia Asda and I'm sure it was sort of shiny grey, like not silver, but and it again like it was just very, very thin. It would be, you'd probably be freezing.
Anyway, we're talking about
all of this bollocks. I can't remember what we were supposed to talk about. Do you know what we were really supposed to talk about today?
What was that?
We've got to address the elephant in the room, which is Parkrun. And we had really started having quite a heated debate last week. We have had a couple of responses from listeners.
Tell us then. What have they said?
Well, do you want me really interested to throw one your way? So this is from Lana, who was actually arguing that Parkrun has always been competitive. She said, it's good that now it's fairly inclusive and you could walk a Parkrun without abuse. The secret to surviving Parkrun as a non-fast woman is to zone out, bring the noise-cancelling headphones with smooth FM music if you want to, ignore everything and everyone. I enjoy many Parkruns this way. I don't get my time by text. If I want to find my time and position, I need to click the link to the respective Parkrun website. Personally, I think Parkrun has done a brilliant job in encouraging thousands to exercise for free. But again, like everything in life, there's fast ones, slim ones, handsome ones, and the rest of us. I think I agree with aspects of what Lana's saying there. However, and I'm not saying that this is what she's doing, but I feel like the idea that it's a positive that you could walk a park run without abuse now.
Yeah, it's like we can be doing better than that, guys and gals.
Yeah.
That's weird, isn't it? So she's pointting to a time at which she might have got abuse in the past, or other people
She doesn't specifically say that she has, but she does say that that it's now fairly inclusive and you could walk it without abuse. So I mean, I don't know whether that's something that she's actually experienced, but
I would be surprised because I think it's very, very carefully marshalled.
It is. And the marshals you cannot knock. The marshals are
absolutely not every experience I've had.
And I've never heard anything negative from any of you guys about an experience with a marshal at parkrun. I think that the marshals do an amazing job at making people feel equally valued and included in the community when they're there, for sure. I think that the issue can sometimes come from other runners being incredibly competitive. And I'm going to go ahead and say it. I think, I know this doesn't sound very accessible to me, but I think if you want to get a 5K PB, that like it really matters to you that it's timed very professionally, that like you want to, I don't know, say start right at the front as an elite person, like you really, really desperately want to get this time, then I think pay for entry to a 5K event where you're paying for that experience, if you know what I mean. Like your local park run, which is in essence, as has been pointed out by Lana in the email, that the point of park run is to encourage people to get running and get moving, whether that's walking, jeffing, whatever. And I'm definitely not saying there's not space for people who are super speedy, not at all. But I think, is it the space to start getting incredibly pedantic about specific times and PBs and blah, 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 then I personally would recommend spending 25 quid, 30 quid on a local, club 5K event or something where you know there are going to be more people like you. You won't have to be elbowing people out the way, and you can start at the front, and you can, you know.
I'm inclined to agree. I also think because we know that the organization itself is doing its very best to be inclusive, and we know that the marshals, that everyone that volunteers is amazing and wonderful and encouraging. So where the issue lies for the way that we feel when we run parkrun is, like you said, it's to do with the people that are actually running the thing, not as in organizing thing, the people that are running parkrun. It's to do with them rather than the people, the organizers around it. So if that's the case, then what do you think about, I mean, and a lot of that is to do with self-regulation, isn't it? It's like one of the issues could well be to do with the fact that slower runners are putting themselves too far forward before they tell you to start. So that means that the faster runners have to try and get round them. So I think that could be a bit of an issue. I wonder if there would ever be an argument for one of these bigger park runs. So like, I mean, Bushy Park has got hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of people running it now. But even Bath was getting up to like 400 or 500 runners occasionally. But with the bigger ones, do you think it might be worth there to be like a double start if there's the opportunity to do? I mean, I know that some park runs are like two loops, so that's, you couldn't do it for something like that, or even more than that. But if you've got one course, like one circular course, is there an argument for having a staggered start? So faster runners go at 9 and slower runners go at 5 past, kind of thing. So then you wouldn't at least...
I kind of love that idea. Yeah, that you get there early and you get there on time if you are a runner who wants to be timed and who wants to get a PB, or who cares about their position in the leaderboard. And if you're there to run because you want to move your body and you want to have a community feel to your morning 5K, then you start at 9:10 or something.
Yeah, something like that. I mean, the thing is that, I mean, I get irritated by everybody, I mean, in the world, right?
In life.
So I am... yeah, I mean, easily irritated person, which means that when I go to parkrun, I'm irritated not only by the faster runners who overtake me when I think I've placed myself in actually the right place. Not only do I get irritated with them, I get irritated with the slower runners that I have to overtake, or runners with dogs. I find them irritating because although they may start at the back, they'll then try and charge for, because they have to, they then try and charge past you with their dog. And it's like, again, I don't really see the point in that. And small kids find that bit confusing. It's just a bit like, it's upsetting, you know, it's mortifying to be overtaken by someone that's kind of, you know.
Yeah, I was overtaken by a 9-year-old boy in a Race for Life in Cardiff once.
Yeah, it's not the best feeling, is it? I mean, the thing is those are all our own, that's our own internalized, we have to deal with that. That's our things that we have to deal with. But yeah, maybe a staggered start for the bigger ones might be a way of sorting out the club runners from the fun runners, essentially.
Yeah, but exactly. Can you hear someone chopping down an entire tree?
No.
Okay, good. That's fine then. I wondered whether I might have to get my angry voice on. There's always stuff going on my road. It's an absolute nightmare.
Always.
There's a man who's obsessed with like blowing every leaf off his driveway. So he's just like doing that all the time, even though there's no leaf. It's so irritating. And there's currently building work going on in the flat the building directly opposite to the one that I'm in, which is really irritating because it's a thin street. So it's basically there. I can wave at the builders. They can see. They saw me doing my strength workout the other day, which is very embarrassing. And yeah, there must be something going on down the end because they've been making annoying noises. They were drilling. It sounded like jackhammering at 5:45 the other night. And I actually, like an angry woman, like the stereotypical angry woman that I hate to be caricatured as, but I fully lent into it for a minute there. And I looked up, can you make construction noise? And you have to stop at 6. So I was poised, ready to shout out the window and go, do you know you can only do construction noise until 6? But I can't remember. I either left the house or they stopped.
I have done that very same search in terms of like early morning stuff when that started. It's like, it's not on.
7 o'clock, it's not on. I think, is the earliest you can start. Maybe it's 8. And 6 o'clock, you have to finish by.
It just seems, every time you hear those sorts of noises throughout the day, I keep on thinking about people that do shift work and how absolutely awful that must be. If you've come back from a night shift at the RUH and you've been nursing people, whatever, and then you come back to have a sleep during the day and someone is digging up the street outside, that must be absolutely awful.
Oh, you would slowly descend into madness. Doug used to do night shifts when he worked, like it was like event stuff and it was like loading and unloading venues. So lugging like, I don't know, sound stuff and staging and things about. And he used to, that would be like, he would often get home at like 4 o'clock in the morning and stuff from doing it. And that was when we lived on London Road, which in Bath is the noisiest road. And it was an absolute nightmare. And I remember him having nightmares about this, I don't know what it even was, like this van thing that used to drive down the road and go, please stand clear of the moving vehicle. And that would like haunt his dreams.
Oh, those vans that talk. And they're doing that in between going, diddly, 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 diddly.
Yeah, what?
Stand clear of the... Oh my God.
The only van in the world that should be allowed to talk is, well, an ice cream van.
Oh, yeah.
And...
okay.
The Coca-Cola lorry when it says holidays are coming. Those are the only exceptions I will make.
Oh, not emergency vehicles or anything like that. Just Coke and ice cream.
Oh, yeah, shit. Sorry. Got my priorities sorted there. I've got a really lame segue for you.
Do it.
But while we're talking, I guess the ways that I can relate to it are, and just want to shout out all of you for your letters. We're a bit behind because we've just had so much going on that we haven't been able to read as many out as normal, and loads of you have sent them in, and please, please keep them coming because I love them. I love reading them. And we love having them for the podcast. It's a joy. But so for any of you who has not had your email acknowledged in any way, hopefully we will and we can at some point. Mm-hmm. But this one is from Carrie Jane.
Okay.
Who emailed to say, and I thought this would be a nice bit of you. So this is an experience that she had. She said, some years ago, a local busy bee road, I guess that means a bee road, not busy bees. Road full of busy bees. A busy bee road had to be closed to vehicles. Oh, see, this all ties in. For bridge repairs for about 6 months during the spring and summer. It became a very popular safe route for pedestrians and cyclists as it is lovely countryside and led to a wildlife trust reserve. Mm. I love to go that way on my long run. When else could I run down the middle of the road? No cars, just the trees and wildlife around me. Actually, so jealous of that. That's why I love a race with a bit of a road closure. Oh, beautiful. However, it also became a location for dog walkers, which is fine. I love dogs too. But on the occasion, the dog was not on a lead. On this occasion, the dog was not on a lead and the owners were too busy looking over the bridge playing poo sticks or something. As I approached, their golden retriever type dog bounded straight at me, getting tangled in my legs as I tried to avoid it and brought me down. Somehow, even though I had grazed knees and elbows, I ended up flat on my back. The owners finally noticed and apologized, asked if I was all right. And of course I said, I'm fine, don't worry. When I should have berated them for not keeping an eye out, I hobbled off. On another occasion, it was pouring rain and a car stopped to ask me directions due to the same road closure. I did my best while thinking, I'm standing here getting even more soaked. Well, you sit on your nice dry car. Why stop me? It was only after I carried on running that I thought, I've told you wrong. So then I spent the rest of my running berating myself and feeling guilty for sending them back in the wrong direction.
Yeah, yeah.
However,
I've had that.
Two things. So this is basically, she did explain it earlier in the email, though I didn't read this bit out, that she's been catching up because she's a new listener. So she's been listening back. But it's harking back to our running annoyances, dogs off leads and pedestrians or tourists or whatever stopping in our directions. I personally think, I love that the conclusion to that story is that she told them the wrong directions.
Oh, but I really feel for her because that's happened to me. I've done that before where I've been so cross that someone has stopped me when I've been mid-run to ask for directions. I've gone, go left. And then for the next 3 miles, I've been like, oh no, they should have gone right. So yeah, I really feel for her.
Don't feel bad because, well, I don't know. This isn't my usual style, but I personally think send them away. Send them up the hill. Send them on a wild goose chase because if it's raining and somebody stops you as a runner and they are in a nice dry car, then have you heard of fucking Google Maps? What is wrong with people that they would stop somebody running in the rain? Come on, have a bit of initiative. Work things out for yourself. No, they're not getting an orienteering badge anytime soon.
It's true though. I would never stop I would never stop any pedestrian, let alone a runner.
I would only stop somebody if I felt that they were already stopped. It was, I don't know, a nice day. They were having a coffee or standing around, or maybe they seemed like they were also tourists to be like, have you guys been to the Verge? You know where the Verge? But I wouldn't, I would never stop somebody who seemed like they were busy doing something. Certainly not running with headphones in, certainly not running in the rain.
Absolutely. I was asked directions just the other day and I shot them. It was a really, really nice person. And
You heard it here first.
I really need to finish my sentence.
FBI.
I shot them such a filthy look that the woman that asked me, I could see that she was quite confused. She was a bit like, I was just asking if such and such was up the doodah. But I gave her such a bad look and I was like, well, yes, it is. It's that way kind of thing. But there was just an absolute, there was not a single iota of understanding of why I would have shot them a filthy look. Like, not a clue.
No.
And I do find that very, very strange. I think kind of the rest of the world, the walking world, the driving world.
The Walking Dead.
Yeah. Mm. They don't know anything, do they? They're idiots.
No.
That's idiots.
I do think as well that potentially, I mean, this sounds like she's in a gorgeous place and such a, again, tiny violin. The tiny violin has come out a lot. If Dave does have a tiny violin, feel free to insert it here. But because we live in Bath and it is a tourist hotspot because it's completely gorgeous, I feel that I feel a certain sense sometimes of like, we're not, oh, this sounds so mean, especially because when we were in New York, we were like getting in the way. But sometimes I feel a bit like, I don't mind tourists enjoying our gorgeous city and bringing lots of, you know, economy stuff to it or whatever. But I don't like the idea that as a resident, you exist solely to sort of make the lives of the tourists easier and stopping you when you're on the way to a train or when you're on the way to work or something, which does happen. I would never be like, fuck off. But I do get a little bit like, you know, have you heard of a tourist information centre? Have you got a guidebook? Haven't you done your research before you've come here?
Or a nice policeman. Go and ask a bobby.
Yeah, what is wrong with it? Good old fashioned.
That's what they're there for.
Asking a bobby. Because we're not in 1926. And unfortunately, the only time that I do see the police in and around Bath is either making sure that nobody's terrible, sad, but making sure that nobody's driving a articulated vehicle into the Christmas markets or something horrid, or making sure that someone who's, you know, not very well on the street is okay. I don't really see them just sort of wandering around going, hi, how are you? How can I help?
Yeah.
Because they've got quite a lot of other things.
Yeah, they're not. There's loads of other things. They're not sort of, helping us rescue kittens and things like that. That doesn't happen very much anymore, does it?
Oh, sad. On the street. Yeah, you know, shout out to the old, good old-fashioned bobby on the street. God, the Christmas markets. Can we quickly discuss, because how fast I have snapped back into my grumpy Bath behaviour after literally saying to you when we were in New York, I'm never going to treat tourists the same way again when they come to Bath. I'm such, you know, because of the fact that there were so many sighs and tuts from New Yorkers at just us being like, wow, look at that. I made a pact to myself to not treat tourists like that, but here I am. The Christmas fucking markets. Oh,
honestly, I haven't even, I've been so cross with them because I do know, you know, like basically like on the Tuesday that they open that Cardiff comes to Bath and then on the Wednesday,
it's all
like
the Cardiff girlies.
And then on Thursday, it's like Swansea and like, but Bath is flooded.
Shout out to all of those places that we love
and all of those people.
But
they
don't
are
they
amazing.
They come in their busloads to Bath.
To buy wooden ties.
We grew up in to buy bloody wooden ties. It costs 25 grand or something like that. I might have over egged that. 15, 10, 15.
Oh, to have a shed. Yeah.
Those sheds are not cheap. And because my brother and sister-in-law did actually look at getting one year and selling mulled wine because they live on Church Street, which is like basically the Abbey Square. So they were like, can't beat him, join him. But it costs so much. And yet, I feel really bad for the lovely person, lovely sole trader, lovely independent vendor who does this. But there is a bloke who sells wooden ties. And every single year, he's got premium real estate in the Christmas markets. He's like
really,
right
really
in the
good spot.
Of town.
Really good spot.
Yeah.
So they're
afloat. Who's so buying it's not them?
That's it, isn't it? The beef is not with him or his product. It's with the, I assume, thousands of people that are going home with wooden ties. What are you doing with them? What are you doing with
them? It's late stage capitalism at its worst. God.
Anyway, Christmas market, brilliant. Brings a lot of that economy.
Yeah, we
stuff
love
to
a
Bath.
Christmas market. I tell you what, the only thing the Christmas market is good for, and I'm going to say, I don't want to sort of well, first of all, I don't want to damage the economy of Bath. I don't want MP Weira Hobhouse to come for me for saying this. But I personally believe that the only reason that coming to the Bath Christmas markets, still come and witness them, do not intend to buy a single present. And I don't mean that in not supporting independent sellers. Yeah.
Buy
online, buy, like, coming to the Christmas markets, and it's an absolute nightmare. You can't get near a stand. The only thing that you will enjoy doing is having a mulled wine and a little sort of shuffle around like a sardine as you get forced through a bottleneck.
I think the best thing about it is the atmosphere, like walking around with your mulled wine and maybe getting a few of those lovely kind of roasted nut things, caramelized nuts.
Get the hot nuts. Yeah. Can't believe I forgot to mention those. That's the second only point to the Christmas market, the hot nuts.
Do that and take kids there because they love it. And there's usually a merry-go-round and it's all really, really lovely and wonderful. But yeah, don't take your Christmas list with you.
Yeah. No. I'll tell you one thing they've introduced this year that I don't think, maybe they have done it before, but I certainly haven't seen it in this capacity before. They've done like an apres ski bar that's like, it's outdoor, but it's got heaters and everyone's huddled around a lovely little barrel, like old fashioned looking like barrel thing with blankets around them and stuff. And they do like hot chocs, mulled wine, hot apples, stuff like that. And people, that does seem like that would be quite a nice sort of romantic or Christmassy thing to do.
There's lots of we have to be very careful not to completely piss off Bath Christmas market, which everyone should come to, and it's absolutely amazing, and you could probably buy loads of stuff
I know, I feel so bad. It is incredible, and I definitely don't want to dissuade anybody from buying independent this Christmas, because there are some real gems in the Bath Christmas markets, but I feel a Christmas market can feel like, oh, I'm really looking forward to getting all of my Christmas shopping done today. And then you end up going, oh my God, I didn't do anything because I couldn't move for people and it was completely bonkers. So, you know, buy the same things from the same vendors, but on Etsy when you get home.
And on that note, maybe we should go and have some lunch. What do you reckon?
I'm starving, and we've got to record another podcast today.
I know.
Which, I mean, God, this episode has been so much information, and we really should go, and I want my corn ham sarnie. But I think we can also say what our extra bonus episode that we're recording is, right?
Yeah, go for it.
Yeah, because it is happening now. Otherwise, we're wasting a lot of people's time this afternoon. But we, instead of our lovely bake-off specials, which we really enjoyed doing, we are going to be doing a series. So this will be an extra episode a week. We're really going to try and keep them this time to 20 minutes, half an hour, because we're very conscious looking at the stats that you guys love having an extra episode, but you might not actually really have as much time for it as you think you do. So we really will try and keep it short. But the idea is that it is going to be a couch to 5K type. Don't want to get in any copyright issues there. It's a 0 to 5K plan. For complete beginner runners, we've got our colleague, Cara, is going to be our total guinea pig, and we're going to get her running a 5K in 10 weeks. We're really, really excited about it. So this is the time. Obviously, tune in. We'll still be having lovely chats, and it could be really useful for picking up some training tips. I know Cara's definitely got some concerns she wants to share with us about times she's tried to run in the past that might be useful for all of you. But also, I think that now is the time to shout it from the rooftops to any of your pals who don't run, who say things like, run? That doesn't sound like much fun. And things like that.
That sort of stuff. Yeah.
Rhymes such as that.
It's going to be absolutely brilliant. We're really looking forward to it. It's so lovely because it's been such a long time since we've done any kind of like training or advicey type things. I mean, we train ourselves and stuff like that, but it's going to be lovely to get Cara on so we can talk through starting to run. I can't wait for her to go on this journey because I think she's going to absolutely smash it, and it's going to be
I think she will as well.
Yeah.
I think she will as well, but she has got all of the normal apprehensions that we have, you know, that people have getting into running, and especially, I will draw the stereotype of especially women, and especially women who have never considered themselves very sporty. So I think it's going to be hopefully really, really relevant and really, really helpful to lots of you out there. And yeah, I also can't wait. We're buzzing. So we're going to go and beat her with a training plan in half an hour.
After we've eaten loads of lunch. Yeah. Let's do that.
Thanks for listening. That was so much information. Sorry.
Thank you for listening. Come and join us on Patreon. You can get a ton of extra Pod Squad benefits from just £2 a month, including newsletters, live chats, and you can join our exclusive Discord community for friendly chat and support with like-minded women runners. Go to patreon.com/womensrunning to find out more. This podcast was recorded over Zencastr. The producer and composer was David Newman. Please hit like and subscribe. That way you won't miss the next episode. And do please email us at wrpodcast@anthem.co.uk with any questions or running stories, as we would love to include them in a future podcast. Happy running.
Normally, being a little extra can be a bit much, but when it comes to healthcare, it pays to be extra. And United Healthcare makes it easy with Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they supplement your primary plan, helping you manage out-of-pocket costs without the usual requirements and restrictions like deductibles and enrollment periods. So when it comes to covering your medical bills, you can feel good about being a little extra. Visit uh1.com to find the Health Protector Guard plan for you.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.